मुखम करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरे यत्कृपातहं वन्दे श्रीगुरु दीनतारिणं परमानंद माधवं श्रीचैतन्येश्वरम्। So we're reading from Canto 7, Chapter 1, Text 27. So I request everyone to open the book or open the link and go to Text 27. Please chant. Yatha vairanu bandhena martyastan mayatam iyat न तथा भक्ति योगेन इति मे निश्चिता मतिः। दिस वर्स इज अ गुगली, दिस वर्स इज अ गुगली बाय नारद मुनि। सी द ट्रांसलेशन व्हाट नारद मुनि सेज। नारद मुनि कंटिन्यूड, बाय डिवोशनल सर्विस वन कैन नॉट अचीव सच इंटेंस एब्जॉर्प्शन इन थॉट ऑफ सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड। दिस इज द गुगली। व्हाट इज ही सेइंग? That by bhakti, one cannot be intensely absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, what is that that will help a person to get intensely absorbed? As one can through enmity towards him. That is my opinion. Through vaira bandhena, your Narada Muni is saying, through vaira or through enmity, a person can get absorbed more as compared to that of devotional service. So can you imagine? So all of us, you know, from today onwards, we should try our best to become enemy of Krishna. If we become enemy of Krishna, then you know, we can be completely absorbed. You know? That's what Narada Muni is saying. Let's see what Prabhupada wants to say. Purport. Sriman Narada Muni, the topmost pure devotee, praises Krishna's enemies like Shishupal because their minds are always completely absorbed in Krishna. Indeed, he thinks himself deficient in the inspiration of being feelingly absorbed in Krishna consciousness. This does not mean, however, that enemies of Krishna are more elevated than Krishna's pure devotees. So Prabhupada helps us to understand. Now we are on the right path. Okay. So here, basically, Narada Muni is keeping himself lower than Shishupal, you know, out of his humility. And he's saying that he was much more absorbed than us. In fact, anyone who is like him in a relationship of enmity, that person will be more absorbed than even people like us, you know, who are devotees of Krishna. That is the humility of Narada Muni. You know, that's what he's putting forward. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also thinks of himself in such a humble way. See what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is thinking. Jagaya madai haite muni se papishta puri shera kita haite muni se lagishta. This is like height, what Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is saying. I am a worse sinner than Jagaya and Madaya, and I am even lower than the worms in stool. A pure devotee always thinks himself more deficient than everyone else. If a pure devotee approaches Srimati Radharani to offer some service to Krishna, even Srimati Radharani thinks that the devotee is greater than she. Thus, Narada Muni says, Thus, Narada Muni says that according to his opinion, the enemies of Krishna are better situated because they are fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna in terms of killing him. Just as a very lusty man always thinks of women and their association. So this is one of the very, very important qualification which I myself am struggling. What is that qualification to practice bhakti or come to the platform of pure devotional service? The qualification is, or the quality that is needed is humility. You look at this, what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying. This is height. He's saying, now who is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami for the ones who don't know? So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is the author of a very, very important scripture, which is called as Chaitanya Charitamrita, which has all the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Krishna in this age of Kali. He is saying, the author of that book is saying, that I'm much more lower, much, much lower than Jagaya and Madhaya. Again, for your information, I hope you remember Jagaya and Madhaya. They came to our PK Sports Center. We discussed about them. So, Jagaya and Madhaya were drunkards. They were woman monglers. They were gone case. So, they were Jagaya and Madhaya, the most sinful people. And the next thing he is saying that lower than the worm in the stool. Now what significance or what position do worms have who are there in the stool? Who cares for it? Who cares for it? Only thing that people do is keep safe distance. Can you imagine what humility these devotees are having? The humility to the core. In fact, it is described even when it comes to Srimati Radharani. Whenever she sees a devotee practicing bhakti sincerely, she recommends our name to Krishna. You know how she recommends our name? She says, "Oh Krishna, this particular devotee is much better than me. Please accept him or accept her." Who can be much better than Srimati Radharani? Who can be? No one. Srimati Radharani, she gives her entire existence in service of Krishna. Entire existence. In fact, we don't have any qualification to speak about Srimati Radharani. But just for the glimpse. So her mind, words, her entire existence is just surrendered to serve Sri Krishna. This is what is the height of devotional service. So she is called as the topmost devotee of Lord Krishna. Topmost devotee. Now that devotee is saying, the topmost devotee, the topmost pure devotee, she is saying that this devotee is much better than me. Oh Krishna, please accept service from him or her. This is a very, very nice thing that we have to understand. I've heard this many times in the class and somehow trying to implement also. That only when we become more and more humble in our attitude, in our behavior, then it is possible that bhakti will grow in our heart. If we are egoistic, if we are really head high all the time, then it's very difficult for bhakti to grow in the heart. Very difficult. So all the ones attending today's session, if we really want to progress on the path of bhakti, this is a very, very important thing that we have to do. We have to become humble in our attitude, humble in our behavior. And look at this, Narada Muni's humility. Narada Muni's humility is to the next level. He is saying Shishupal is much better. And then he's glorifying that Shishupal, through his enmity, what he achieved, that is constant absorption in Krishna, even I am not able to achieve. This is called as humility of Narada Muni. The essential point in this connection, and also there is a nice analogy that is given, which I missed. A very lusty man always thinking of a woman and their association. How is this absorption, or how one's absorption should be in Krishna? Like a lusty man, he is always thinking about female. And he's just absorbed in thoughts of that particular female. That's how absorbed a person should be. Look at the analogies also. It is apt to our current situation. Because high analogies will not be able to understand. So exactly like what we are facing, that's what Prabhupada is also writing. The essential point in this connection is that one should be fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna 24 hours a day. There are many devotees in Raga Marga, which is exhibited in Vrindavan. Whether in Dasya Rasa, Sakya Rasa, Vatsalya Rasa or Madhurya Rasa, all devotees of Krishna are always overwhelmed by thoughts of Krishna. When Krishna is away from Vrindavan, tending the cows in the forest, the gopis in the Madhurya Rasa are always absorbed in thoughts of how Krishna walks in the forest. The soles of his feet are so soft that gopis would not dare keep his lotus feet on their soft breasts. Indeed, they consider their breasts a very hard place for lotus feet of Krishna. Yet those lotus feet wander in the forest, which is full of thorny plants. The gopis are absorbed in such thoughts at home, although Krishna is away from them. Similarly, when Krishna plays with his young friends, Mother Yashoda is very much disturbed by thoughts that Krishna, because of always playing and not taking his food properly, must be getting weak. These are the examples of exalted ecstasy felt in Krishna's service as manifested in Vrindavan. This service is indirectly praised by Narada Muni in this verse. Especially for the conditioned soul, Narada Muni recommends that one somehow or other be absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, for that will save one from all dangers of material existence. Full absorption in thought of Krishna is the highest platform of Bhakti Yoga. See, one of the important thing that is put forward here for all of us is we have to be always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Even if we try doing that, it's very, very difficult. You know, it's very, very difficult. But still, that's what is the platform that we have to reach. And, you know, many devotees have this query. They ask sometimes that I'm practicing bhakti, then why there is so much of anxiety in my life? In fact, one who practices bhakti, that person will have lots of anxiety. Lots and lots of anxiety. But that anxiety is transcendental and that anxiety is blissful. Like in case of Mother Yashoda and Rohini, they were always in anxiety when Krishna and Balram were at the stage of crawling. They would be crawling, and they would be crawling very, very fast. And what they would be doing when they're crawling, they would go and try to touch fire. They would go and try to touch the teeth, the sharp teeth of cats and dogs. They would go fast, touch thorny bushes. They'll go to peep inside the well, what is there in the well. They'll go and try to touch the sword. And the entire day, Mother Yashoda and Rohini, they'll be always constantly absorbed in thoughts of what our sons are doing. And, they will pick them up from one place, keep it on the other. They'll go back to their work and they'll see they're again running towards another place. Again, they'll go and pick them up. And again, they're running towards another place. Again, they'll pick them up. They are in complete anxiety. Complete anxiety. And they were not allowed to do household work also. That was the situation. That's how Krishna and Balaram would behave. But there Shukadeva Goswami mentions that this was the topmost form of existence, of being constantly in thoughts of the Lord and constantly absorbed, thinking about the Lord. How can I serve the Lord? This was the mood of Yashoda and Rohini and also the other gopis and gopas, which is mentioned in this purport. So this is what we have to understand, that always being in thought of the Lord, how to serve the Lord, how to preach this mission, how to do various services, how to be more innovative, more and more innovative to come to the platform of doing devotional service throughout the day. It need not be all the time chanting, and it should be the case, all the time chanting. But if you are not on the platform, what to do? We cannot do all the time chanting. So using our innovation, we have to make our lifestyle, or modify our lifestyle in such a way that each and every activity that we're doing should be Krishna conscious. And only when we are able to do this, we'll attain the highest perfection, that is attaining Krishna. So this is a very, very important aspect, a very, very important aspect. And when a devotee understands this, and literally a devotee is hankering to attain Krishna, and when he gets this key to attain Krishna, then the devotee, he tries analyzing every single moment, where all I'm wasting time and how I can utilize this every moment in service of Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, 8th chapter, 14th shloka, Ananya cheta satatam yomam smarati nityashah. So in this two lines he's saying, Ananya cheta satatam, those people, those devotees who have fixed their mind on me, and what are they doing? Yomam, those people, mam is I, yomam smarati nityashah, always constantly remembers me. Constantly remembers me. What happens to them? He's telling Arjuna that tasyaham sulabha partha, tasyaham sulabha partha, nitya nitya yuktasya yoginaha. So this particular shloka is very nice. Today morning only I was trying to buy out the shloka. So the next two lines it says, for those people, oh Arjuna, for those people whose minds are completely absorbed in me without deviation, and they are constantly thinking about me. For those people, he is saying, tasya ham, I am sulabaha. I am very, very easy to attain. Very, very easy to attain. Yes. So this is what is the meditation that devotees have. That how can I engage myself in constantly engaging myself in devotional service. And all our intelligence can be utilized for this. All the engineering and BTech, MTech, PhD, MBBS and whatever courses we have done till now, everything is meant only for one purpose. How to be Krishna conscious. Yes, throughout, you know, a lot of analysis, you know, analytical skill now has come because of all these courses that we have done, all the degrees that we have got. Because of that, we have got some analytical skills. So those analytical skills have to be utilized here to become more and more innovative, to think and understand how can I involve myself or how can I engage myself in service of the Lord. Like the other day I was telling, you know, having a wallpaper of Radha and Krishna, or having the DP or the mobile wallpaper or laptop wallpaper as, you know, some Krishna's photos or some devotees' photos. One devotee, I had seen this. So he had note. So in that paper, he had written, Trinadapi suni chena tarorapi saishunam. I have to be more humbler than the blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. I have to give respect to all others, expecting none in return. And that's how I'll be able to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra constantly. And he had stuck on the laptop. So he'll keep reading. You know? This is called innovation. There are other devotees who have made sure that every nook and corner of the house is filled, you know, with photos and different forms of Lord Krishna. This is how, you know, we can modify our lifestyle. There are many, many things many devotees do. This is called as innovation, to be always absorbed in doing devotional service, to be always absorbed in thinking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. That's what we see here. You know, that's what is told. Full absorption in thought of Krishna is the highest platform of bhakti yoga, and we have to aim for this. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. We cannot be stuck at just chanting few rounds and, you know, reading some few pages and, you know, hearing few minutes. We cannot be stuck at that platform. We have to come to this platform. What is that? Full absorption in thought of Krishna. And that is the highest platform of bhakti yoga. And that's what Narada Muni is saying. Narada Muni is already there on that platform, but Narada Muni, you know, he's taking the humble position and he's saying that Shishupal was really great. In fact, according to me, the bhakti that, you know, we do is nothing. For by that, we cannot get that absorption what Shishupal got. Next, 28-29, translation. A grass worm confined in a hole of a wall by a bee always thinks of the bee in fear and enmity and later becomes a bee simply because of such remembrance. Similarly, if the conditioned soul somehow or other think of Krishna, who is Sachidananda Vigraha, they will become free from their sins, whether thinking of him as their worshipable Lord or an enemy because of constantly thinking of him, they will regain their spiritual bodies. So this is the extension of that verse. Let's see what Prabhupada wants to say here. In Bhagavad Gita 4:10, the Lord says, Vitaraga bhayakrodha manmaya mam upashritaha bhavo jnana tapasa puta madbhavam agataha. Being freed from attachment, fear and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me. And thus, they all attained transcendental love for me. There are two ways of constantly thinking of Krishna, as a devotee and as an enemy. A devotee, of course, by his knowledge and tapasya becomes free from fear and anger and becomes a pure devotee. Similarly, an enemy, although thinking of Krishna inimically, thinks of him constantly and also becomes purified. So today you have got two options. Choose one of them. Become such a big enemy that as soon as you come out of the house, you know, everyone around, you know, should tremble and should fall unconscious and they should start running away from that place. So you have to become, you know, like that, enemies of Krishna. it's possible, then yes, you know, we can go ahead and become enemies of Krishna to such an extent that every single moment, the only thing that we're doing is blaspheming Krishna left and right. Every single moment. Then, yes, you know, then we can get purified and we can go back home. Or, you know, we become nice devotees and you know, try to chant our rounds and read Prabhupada books, hear Prabhupada lectures, and then come do some services together, you know, celebrate festivals, have nice prasadam, and then become nice devotees and get purified. So it's our choice. You know, today we can choose. All of us have these two choices today. This is confirmed elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 9:30, where the Lord says, Api chetsa duracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag sadhu sadhur eva samantavyah samyak vyavasito hi sahi. even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he engages in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. A devotee undoubtedly worships the Lord with rapt attention. Similarly, if an enemy always thinks of Krishna, he also becomes a purified devotee. The example given here concerns the grass worm that becomes bee-like because of constantly thinking of the bee that forces it to enter a hole. By always thinking of the bee in fear, the grass worm starts to become a bee. So this is a nice thing. I would like to add some points here. So there is one insect you might have seen in villages, especially in cities, it's very difficult to find. But in villages, we will see that these bees, there are some bees which will create some mud houses here and there, small. They'll collect mud from here and there and find some mud stacks here and there in the houses. In our house, we'll find in corners and other places. So what this bee will do is, if I'm not wrong, the bee's name is Bringi. Bringi, yes. So this Bringi would go around and get small insects. And it will push that insect inside that mud house of its own. And then, it will go out. Now, this small insect which is there, it will be very, very fearful inside that mud hole, mud house. And then all the time it will be thinking about that fearful looking insect, Bringi. And it is said that the meditation of that person would be so intense that slowly it starts transforming itself into Bringi. What to talk about that? Even in our life, I was reading one article, there it was given that when the husband and wife are attached to each other too much, so and they're constantly thinking about each other, what happens is towards the end of life, in their old age, they start looking alike, it seems. Now, I've not done practical stuff, where to find extremely old people and see their faces. So if you come across this, you can verify this. So this is something, we see that when we are attached to something and constantly thinking about that all the time, this is what happens. And it is in accordance with what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajyate ante kalevaram tam tam ivaiti kaunteya sadatad bhava bhavitaha. So whatever we think our entire life, that's what is going to come at the time of death. Yes. And at the time of death, whatever we think, what will happen? Krishna says, sadatad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever you have thought, that's what you'll become in the next life. Simple. So this is what is, that's how we see that Prabhupada, whenever he writes any statement, that is in accordance with the other shastras also. Especially Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna appears within this material world for two purposes. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chidushkrita. To protect the devotees and annihilate the demons, the sadhus and devotees certainly think of Lord always. But Dushkrutis, the demons like Kamsa and Shishupal, also think of Krishna in terms of killing him. By thinking of Krishna, both the demons and devotees attain liberation from the clutches of material Maya. This verse uses the word Maya Manuje. When Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears in his original spiritual potency, he is not forced to accept a form made of material nature. Therefore, the Lord is addressed as Ishvara, the controller of Maya. He is not controlled by Maya. When a demon continuously thinks of Krishna because of enmity towards him, he is certainly freed from the sinful reactions of his life. To think of Krishna in any way, in terms of his name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, or anything pertaining to him is beneficial for everyone. Shrinvatam Swakatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha. Thinking of Krishna, hearing the holy name of Krishna, or hearing the pastimes of Krishna will make one pure and then he will become a devotee. Our Krishna consciousness movement is therefore trying to introduce the system of somehow or other letting everyone hear the holy name of Krishna and take Krishna's prasadam. Thus, one will gradually become a devotee and his life will be successful. So we have discussed this now n number of times that Krishna controls Maya. Krishna controls the material energy, but he is not in control of the material energy or the illusory potency of the Lord. And just by thinking about Krishna, that's what, that's how we started our today's class with. That if we hear attentively, about Krishna, if we chant attentively Krishna's holy names, if we have prasadam with a proper consciousness, if we do services with proper consciousness, thinking that I'm doing it for Krishna, no doubt the person will be purified. Sadhya punanti. Very soon the person will get purified and he'll be able to attain Krishna. That's what is the verdict of Shastra. Let's see in text 30. Now we see about different personalities. Text 30 and 31, I guess. Yeah. Which talks about different personalities doing bhakti in or remembering Krishna in different moods. Let's see, you know, where we fit. Many persons have attained liberation simply by thinking of Krishna with great attention and giving up sinful activities. This great attention may be due to lusty desires, inimical feelings, fear, affection, or devotional service. I shall now explain how one receives Krishna's mercy simply by concentrating one's mind upon him. Now let's hear from Narad Muni very, very attentively. That's what Narad Muni is going to talk about. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, so this is 10.33.39. So this is a big shloka, which says, if a bona fide listener hears of Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, which seem to be lusty affairs, the lusty desires in his heart, which constitute the heart disease of the conditioned soul, will be vanquished, and he will become a most exalted devotee of the Lord. If one who hears of the gopis' lusty behavior with Krishna becomes free from lusty desires, certainly the gopis who approached Krishna became free from all such desires. Similarly, Shishupal and others who were very much envious of Krishna and who constantly thought of Krishna became free from envy. Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda were fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness because of affection. When the mind is somehow or other fully absorbed in Krishna, the material part is very soon vanquished and the spiritual part, attraction to Krishna, becomes manifest. This indirectly confirms that if one thinks of Krishna enviously, simply because of thinking of Krishna, he becomes free from all sinful reactions and thus becomes a pure devotee. Examples of this are given in the following verse. See, this particular purport Prabhupada is making it very clear. Till now, unfortunately, all of us, we have been there in this material world from time immemorial. We cannot even trace. Now, when have we come here to do sense gratification? And from time immemorial, we are doing sense gratification. Now, what has happened is, this sense gratification tendency of ours and sense gratificatory action of ours, all that has created, you know, good impressions on our mind. A lot of samskaras are there. Even without our notice, some desires will creep in from here and there. And especially those sinful activities that we have done in this life, those are really very strong. And it's very, very difficult, you know, to remove, you know, these. It's almost like a thorn which has entered our feet to, you know, very, very deep. And it's very difficult to remove that thorn. It pains also. Here we understand that all these sense gratificatory activities we have done till now, till date, whatever. So all that has created impressions on our mind. So there are a lot of samskaras on the mind. So our situation is like a glass, a transparent glass, which is filled with muddy water. So hope you know, everyone has seen this. So when the glass is filled with muddy water, you know, it's very, very brownish and turbulent, and you can easily make out, you know, how is it. Now suppose you want to clear it. So what can you do if you want to get pure water in the glass? What will you do? So someone might say, I'll throw, and then put new water. Now let's try to fit this analogy what we're discussing about. So our consciousness has become dirty. A lot of, you know, dirty samskaras are there. So now first, what are we saying? That first throw this and then we'll fill. Is it possible? It's not possible. Very, very difficult. Very difficult. Someone says filter. Filtering is also difficult. For filtering, you need some other equipment or something, and then you pour the water, get it, and then put it back in the glass. So basically removing that and the glass becomes empty. So that's something which is not possible. We cannot empty our thoughts. We cannot empty our samskaras. Not possible. So one thing that we can do is take that glass filled with muddy water and start pouring clean water. Go on pouring. One after another. And then you'll see, finally, all the muddy water will come out, overflow, and finally the glass will be filled with clean water. That's what is our current situation. That's what is our current situation. So currently our consciousness is very, very dirty. The samskaras that we have got because of various things around has, you know, is very, very dirty, dirty samskaras. To such a great extent that we see even in small kids, even without we teaching them anything, you know, they'll be doing some nasty activity. And then we have to literally think, you know, where did this person learn all these things from? Past life, simple. No doubt about this now. You know, being Gita course student, we can easily make out why the person is behaving in a particular way. Why? Because of the past samskaras. And now just imagine from so many lifetimes we have got these dirty samskaras. Our entire mind is completely, you know, filled with all these dirty samskaras. It's almost like a garbage bin. It's literally a garbage bin. If suppose Lord gives us an opportunity to open our mind and see, we'll get scared of it. Because this garbage which is there is rotting from so many lifetimes. And if we open, maybe we'll faint also. And maybe we'll die also because of the smell that comes out of it. That's what is our current situation. And how to clean that up? This is the solution that Prabhupada is giving us. Only solution. There is no other solution for cleanup. What is that only solution? We have to practice devotional service to such an extent that now we have this muddy water and keep pouring the clean water. And what is that clean water? Clean water is Krishna conscious activities. Go on. Hearing, chanting, reading, services, and then go around and preach to others. Have prasadam only and be free from all the sinful activities. Go on pouring more and more and more. Now, sometimes devotees ask, Prabhu, how much to do devotional service? Depends how much you want to clear your consciousness as fast as possible. If you want to clear it as fast as possible, keep pouring as much as possible. Sometimes devotees ask, how much time to invest? Invest that much of time equivalent to the dirt that is there in the consciousness. So if you start equating, if you start analyzing, then suppose we have put it on a weighing scale. So the dirt which is there in our consciousness, that will go down. And the water which you're pouring is up. So now the water the Krishna consciousness activity should come to such an extent that this should become more and more and more. So it's up to the devotee. It's up to the devotee to understand, because all of us have got different level of dirt, which is there. For some it is 100, for some it is 99.9999. Not much different, but still there's some difference. For some it will be 99.998. So the dirt is there, but as an individual, we understand that what is actually troubling us a lot. Every devotee will go through some or the other problem. When we are there in material world, so at that time, it hardly matters. No one cares. Why? Because in material life, the consciousness of the person is completely turbulent. You take a bucket of water and just turn your hand in that. And then it becomes completely turbulent. In that you put a stone. How does that really matter? It's already turbulent. You put a stone in that, it hardly matters. But there is a bucket full of water and it is calm. And then you put a stone. You'll hear the voice, you'll hear the sound also, and you'll see the ripples also. That's what happens when a person starts becoming a devotee. Sometimes people come and ask, why is it that after coming to devotional service, there are so many anarthas which are coming up? No, these anarthas were already there. But we were so happy with those anarthas, we never felt it is there inside our heart. Like for example, lust. So only when we come to devotional service, only when we come to Krishna consciousness, we understand lust is really bad. But outside, it's very nice. People want to do those activities which will enhance one's lusty desires. That's how all the movies and posters and the eatables and everything are designed. So in material life, a person cannot understand all this. But when it comes to spiritual life, person starts understanding, this is too much of anartha, too many anarthas, and the quantity of those anarthas is also very, very high. So what am I supposed to do? Then a devotee takes a resolution, he resolves, or he becomes determined that I have to remove this because I want to attain Krishna. And to remove that, what is he supposed to do? Two glasses. Always remember this analogy. We have muddy water glass and we have clean water glass. Go on pouring to such an extent that finally the only thing that should come in our thoughts is Krishna. Currently also you see the dreams that we get, they're so nasty dreams. So nasty. Don't know from which mountain we are jumping, who is running behind us. Sometimes people, you know, some nasty thing is happening. Why? Because all those things that we have done, those are coming in the dreams. Now today afternoon I was hearing a class and that the speaker was saying that we have to come to one level where even in dreams we think about Krishna. Even in dreams, you know, Krishna comes or his devotees come. For many devotees, they say, Prabhupada came in my dream, my spiritual master came in my dream, Krishna came in my dream. That's okay, that's only once. They'll not come often. They'll come once to give some glimpse and they'll go. But a person who gets the thoughts of a pure devotee or Krishna very often, then we can say, this devotee is progressing. This is called as a devotee is getting purified. Yes. So this is very, very clear. So now if, suppose you get a question, how much devotional service should I do? You know the answer now. You have to answer it by yourself. How much depends on the dirt, you know, which is there in our mind. Let me know if you have some questions on this. This is a very important concept that we just discussed. Now, this next verse is very nice. It talks about who all meditated on Krishna in what all different ways. My dear King Yudhishthir, the gopis by their lusty desires, Kamsa by his fear, Shishupal and other kings by envy, the Yadus by the familial relationship with Krishna, you Pandavas by great affection for Krishna, and we, the general devotees. See, wherever it comes about himself, he's calling himself general. General devotees, by our devotional service, have obtained the mercy of Krishna. So let's read the purport, then we'll discuss a very, very important shloka for the day. Different persons achieve different types of mukti. Now, I hope everyone knows these different types of muktis. Five types. Sayujya, Salokya, Sarupya, Samipya and Sarshti. And I've explained this. Sayujya means merging in the Lord, and which we don't like. The devotees don't like this. Second is Salokya. Salokya means going to the same abode of the Lord. Sarupya, getting the same form of the Lord. Samipya, being always close to the Lord. And Sarshti, getting same opulence of the Lord. According to their own intense desire, which is called bhava. Now it depends. You know, every devotee has got its own desire that I want to always be close to the Lord or whatever. So that is called as bhava. That is called the mood. Thus it is described here that the gopis by the lusty desires, which were based upon their intense love for Krishna, became the most beloved devotees of the Lord. Although the gopis of Vrindavan expressed their lusty desires in relationship with the paramour, they actually had no lusty desires. So yesterday, someone was asking me this question, why it is mentioned as lust instead of love? Not yesterday. Yesterday only? Day before yesterday. So here, kama, the word kama, you know, is mentioned. And this word kama, you know, is translated as lust, or it can be translated as love also. But we Baddhajivas of this world cannot understand what is love. Now people of this world, they think, they see each other, and then, you know, there are a lot of movies also which talks about that. When they see each other eye to eye, then the moon becomes big, the wind starts flowing, some people are playing violin, yes, and nice music behind, a nice song, and the person starts floating in the air. All nonsense. This cannot be love. Love means sacrifice. Whenever you say love, it means sacrifice. And if you remember in one of the Gita course session, we have discussed that the love, the true love in this world, we can see only between a mother and a newborn child. Newborn, not the grown-up child, newborn child. Mother and a newborn child. Only that is a bit closer, a bit closer to the love, you know, that the devotees have for Krishna, or Krishna have for devotees. So, why I'm talking about mother and child? The mother starts serving the child without any expectation. Firstly, she holds the child in the womb, and when the child is turning, then there is some hittings which the mother feels, and she feels the pain. So when she feels the pain, she doesn't rip open the stomach and throw the child out. She somehow bears it. She tolerates that particular pain. And when the child is born, the labor pain which she goes through, really terrible. It is explained that particular pain is equivalent, almost equivalent to the pain of death. Obviously, nowadays, caesarean is going on. So, that pain might not be there. But Now this is the pain. And then when the child comes out, now child will not remain quiet, right? No, he comes out and starts smiling. Aha, no, such a nice place. No, my mother is there. No, the child does not understand anything. Only thing that he does is cries and cries and cries and cries. And when the child is crying, no, so much. So at that time, what the mother will do? She'll try various things. No, she'll give a toy. Then, you know, it's not working. Then, you know, she'll feed him. Oh, that's also not working. She'll take him, go around. Oh, that's also not working. You know, try to put him to rest in the cradle. So she does so many things. And what is the expectation? Nothing. This is called as sacrifice. She's sacrificing her sleep. She's sacrificing her food. She's sacrificing her own personal interests just to take care of the child. This is called as love, which is very, very close. When it comes to gopis, they were ready to sacrifice anything and everything for Krishna. Anything and everything. Very difficult to understand the relationship between Krishna and gopis. In our Baddha state currently, which is, you know, our mind is completely filled with garbage. In this, we cannot understand the relationship between Krishna and the gopis. Even if we try to understand the relationship between Krishna and gopis, max to max that we'll be able to think of is a boy and a girl in this world, you know, having a relationship. And we start thinking like that, it's a big offense. Because we are pulling down that transcendental, the purest relationship between the pure devotees and Krishna down to this material world to a relationship which is the most contaminated one. If you see in this world, both girl and a boy are attracted to each other. For what? For, well, just the bodily effect, bodily infatuation, nothing else. Nothing else. As soon as they get bored, break up. Break up. Nowadays, there's break up in marriages also. Divorce immediately. Yes. So this is what we see. This is what we see in this world. So understanding the relationship between Krishna and gopis is not, you know, for us as of now. Only when we come to a platform of purified state of consciousness, completely purified, no garbage here, completely purified, then we'll be able to relish, right? If suppose it was a filthy, lusty relationship of this world, why will a Mukta Jiva like Shukadev Goswami speak? And why would a pure devotee like Parikshit Maharaj, who is going to die, would hear? Make sense? So that's what is the point. So it's the purest of the purest relationship. Now you see, the people who leave everything of this world and they take sannyas or they become renunciants. So they, you know, when practicing bhakti, they come to that purified state and they start reading and speaking and meditating on the pastimes of gopis and Krishna. Now, if they are relishing, so you can imagine, they are not relishing because they are not relishing the aspect of this world. They have left everything of this world. What they are relishing is transcendental, pure relationship between a pure devotee and the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Yes, this is the relationship between gopis and Krishna. Pure relationship. And mind you, in spiritual world, there is nothing called as sex. That is only there in this material world. There is nothing called as sex in spiritual world. Yes. Because it is a need in the material world. And that is a way to beget progeny. Now that is not needed in spiritual world. Obviously not needed. Right? So there is nothing called as a sensual thing in spiritual world. Only thing that exists is love and sacrifice. Sacrifice from the side of a devotee and sacrifice from the side of the Lord. And we see both the sides. They have a competition between each other. Who will sacrifice more? Devotees of Krishna, like gopis, they try sacrificing something and Krishna reciprocates with them by sacrificing something from his side. And it goes on and on and on and on, and finally gopis win. Pure devotees win. Krishna cannot win when it comes to a competition between Krishna and devotees. Do you know, Krishna will say, "Arey bapre, how much you are doing? You are giving your 100%. You are giving your 100%. I am not able to give my 100% because my 100% is entire creation." And still Krishna is ready to exchange that entire creation with that devotee. But the devotee is like, "I don't want." What will Krishna do? What will Krishna do? Right? So that is the relationship between a pure devotee and Krishna. Never ever, even in our thoughts, you know, we should deteriorate the relationship or pull that relationship down to this material contaminated relationships. What is our problem, you know? We want to understand Krishna by pulling him to our level. That is what is our problem. We don't keep Krishna on his level and try to understand him. We want to get him to our level and then start, you know, thinking, "Oh, okay, Krishna is doing this. Oh, No, he was going around, you know, with different females. Oh, you know, nasty person or lusty person. Oh, he married so many wives, so many girls. Oh, nasty person. Oh, he stole clothes of gopis. Oh, nasty person. Arey, who are you to give the tag of nasty? We ourselves are abominable. No, we are actually like the worms in the stool. That's what Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is telling us. He says that he is, but actually that's what we are. That's what is our consciousness. Yes. But when it comes to Krishna and his relationship with his devotees, very, very, very pure. There is not even a tinge of material lust in that. Not even a tinge. Just to make us understand what was that love of gopis for Krishna, this word lust is used at various places. Just to make us understand. Or it can be just put as pure love. And pure love we can never understand. We can never, what is pure love? Kis chidiya ka naam hai? Shuddha prem. Kis chidiya ka naam hai? Yes. So we'll never understand. Never ever understand. Yes. That is the reason Shukadeva Goswami uses the word kama. And Prabhupada is translating that as lust. This is what you know, we have to understand when it comes to gopis. Now let's see other personalities. Very nice and interesting personalities mentioned here. This is significant of spiritual advancement. Their desires appeared lusty, but actually they were not lusty. They were not the lusty desires of material world. This is what you know, we discussed for last 5 to 10 minutes. Chaitanya Charitamrita compares the desires of spiritual and material world to gold and iron. I forgot the shloka, very beautiful shloka. I'm not able to remember. That is the translation Prabhupada is mentioning here. Both gold and iron are metal, but there is a vast difference in their value. The lusty desires of gopis for Krishna are compared to gold, and material lusty desires are compared to iron. Now it's completely clear. Gold is a relationship between Krishna and the gopis, and iron is that comparison given for the relationship of this material world. Next, discussing about Kamsa. Kamsa and other enemies of Krishna merged into the existence of Brahman. But why should Krishna's friends and devotees have same position? Krishna's devotees attain the association of the Lord as his constant companions, either in Vrindavan or in Vaikuntha planets. Similarly, although Narad Muni wanders in the three worlds, he has exalted devotion for Narayan. That's why he says, Narayana, Narayana. Wherever he goes, you know, with his Veena, that's what he does. The Vrishnis and Yadus are the father and the mother of Krishna in Vrindavan all have familial relationship with Krishna. Krishna's foster father and mother in Vrindavan, however, are more exalted than Vasudeva and Devaki. Oh, there's so many things that we can discuss here. So let's discuss one by one. Kamsa by his fear. Now, yesterday we discussed how much fearful Kamsa was. How much fearful. In fact, when the Akashvani was done, 8th child will kill. And a lot of things happened. We will discuss this in our Janmashtami series. We will discuss that part where, again, we'll go verse by verse and we'll try to understand. So, when the Akashvani was done and many other incidents happened, then Devaki and Vasudev were put behind bars by Kans Maharaj. And what Kans Maharaj did was, he shackled them and he told the soldiers outside, make sure that these people shouldn't go out. And then he told the soldiers that anyone who comes to tell me the birth of the 8th child, birth of the 8th child, I will give them whatever they want. This was the nice deal that he had done. And you see the fear of Kans Maharaj, what he did. He was such a fearful personality, fearful even to demigods. Now such a nice strong personality, maybe we can think of some nice biceps and triceps and packs and chest and whatever. Very, very strong. Very, very fearful. Fearful looking personality. That person was so so fearful after hearing the Akashvani, especially when Durga Devi, when she told this that the person who is going to kill you has appeared somewhere else, he became so very fearful. Only thing that he would be doing is always keep fearing where he'll come from. From which corner he'll come. Maybe from this atom he'll pop up. Maybe from this water he'll pop up. And then when the 8th son was born and Vasudev, you know, transferred that child to Gokul Mahavan, and from there he got, you know, the Maya Shakti Durga. So that time when the child started crying, the soldiers got up. They were in deep sleep. The soldiers got up, and then these soldiers started running, because you know, that was the deal. So soldiers started running. They were falling down, getting up, and you know, they were running. There was almost like a stampede going towards Kans Maharaj. And when they reached Kans Maharaj, and they said, eighth child has appeared. And he fainted, got up, started running, falling down. He was not able to balance because of fear. Because of fear. Because it was very clear for him, his Kaal has appeared, his death personified has appeared. And then, you know, Kans Maharaj, he came, finally he took the child and it was Durga. So he tried smashing her and she came up and she gave the Akash, then she said that your Kaal, your death personified has appeared somewhere else. After that, you know, before at least his fear was comparatively less because, you know, the person has not appeared. Now the person has appeared somewhere else. Every time, all the time, complete consciousness was immersed in thinking where this person will come from. Anything blue, anything black, anything white also. any color, what doesn't matter. He would just feel, oh, Krishna will come from here. He'll come from there. And he'll be always fearful thinking, oh, this person will kill me anytime. This was the constant absorption of Kans Maharaj. So suppose anyone wants to attain Krishna through the mood of fear, then, you know, one has to be fearful like this. Oh, he'll come. He'll come as a death. But you know, after hearing Krishna Leela from Bhagavatam, no one can fear Krishna. Who will fear Krishna? The person who is held, you know, by the motherly gopis and, you know, they would twist his ear. You know, who is chastised by the equal friends, whose friends will sit on his shoulder and the gopis, you know, they will play pranks with him. Who will fear such a person? Only thing that we can do is love such a person. When we hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, that's what can happen. Yes. So the point that is made here is fearful is not about being fearful every, you know, sometime here and there. No. Fearful all the time. Intensely. Then a person can get purified. That's how Kans attained perfection by fear. Shishupala and others by envy. We discussed. Yadus by their familial relationship with Krishna. So they used to always think, oh, no, our child has come. We have to do this. We have to do that and so on and so forth. So they had that mood. Like when it comes to Vasudev and Devaki, they had that mood. So when Krishna and Balram, they came, you know, to Mathura. So it is very clearly mentioned when they came to Mathura. So Vasudev started thinking, oh, my boys have not studied in any school. Immediately we have to send them to school for their welfare, for their benefit. So they were sent to Ujjain, Sandipani Muni's ashram. Now, if they didn't have any affection for Krishna Balram, why would have they done this? Yes, why would have they sent Krishna and Balram to Sandipani Muni's ashram? They had so much of affection and love for Krishna in the mood of familial affection. Then here it says, Pandavas, by your great affection for Krishna. So naturally Pandavas had great affection. Just to give you an instance. So now, after the Mahabharata Yuddha, Krishna was starting from Hastinapur and he was going to Dwarka. Then what Yudhishthira Maharaj did was, because of the affection that he had for Krishna, he told Arjuna and Satyaki that you both go and drop Krishna and come. And now you see who was Arjuna and who was this another personality. Hope, you know, it's Satyaki only. So both of them, you know, who were there, and then they had survived Mahabharata. So you can understand, you know, they were great stalwarts, Maharathis. So they were enough to protect Krishna. But you know what Yudhishthira Maharaj did? Because of the affection and love that he had for Krishna, he sent one Akshauhini Sena. One Akshauhini. And I don't have the exact calculation. I have that in my slides of Gita course. So one Akshauhini basically means some 27,000 chariots, 27,000 horses, 27,000 elephants, some 1 lakh soldiers, and so on and so forth. Now you can imagine. So Krishna is there in between and all around is a big Sena surrounding him. And Krishna is there in the middle. This was the love and affection of who? Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Yudhishthira Maharaj knew he is God, but still natural attraction was there. Natural attraction or natural affection. Yes. And you know, they would be always thinking about Krishna in the mood of affection. You know, how can we serve him better? Right? So in this way, these Pandavas attained Krishna or perfection. They attained perfection through their great affection for Krishna. And then Narad Muni says, the general devotees like us. He's talking about all the sages and everyone like him. General devotees like us have attained by devotional service. Do you think Narad Muni is a general devotee? Yes. He is the purest of the pure. And what is his consciousness? Narad Muni's consciousness or devotee, you see? Narad Muni's consciousness is so great that not even a single moment he wastes. All the time, the only thing that he does is Narayana, Narayana, or think or sing about Radha and Krishna. or sing about the different incarnations of the Lord and go and do various services. Narada Muni's level is on a different, on a very great height. Sometimes people say Narada Muni is Chuglikhor. He does, he speaks the secrets from here to there and so on and so forth. No, he is not meant for that. He doesn't do that. He's such a great devotee. Such a great devotee that just by looking at the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he understands what is the desire of Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he goes to execute that. Now, when Narada Muni does various things, there are many, many examples, but it's already time up. Sometime later we can take some examples of Narada Muni doing so-called chugalkhori from one place to another. How finally the Lord is very much pleased, because that was the desire of the Lord. So can you imagine the level of Narada Muni? Even Lord, without speaking, Narada Muni used to understand what Lord needs, what he is desiring, and then he'll go and execute that desire. So this goes on to say that Narada Muni constantly meditates on what Krishna needs. This is called as the highest level of devotional service. Constantly meditating on Krishna. Yes. And then he's calling himself as general devotees. Actually, we belong to that category called general devotees. Yes. And then we have to come to the platform of pure devotional service by constantly thinking about Krishna. So in this way, this is what is given. And then in the next verse, it goes on, the discussion about this is going on currently, which talks about different personalities attaining Krishna by their absorption. Anyways, we'll discuss it later. So I'll take some questions now, since it's already time up. So tomorrow we're going to have a special class, because special class again from Bhagavatam 7th canto, but we'll not be reading. So I'll try to speak something, or we'll read. Let's see, I've not decided. So what we'll be doing is we'll be hearing directly the last part of our discussion, what we have started. That is Narasimhadev coming out of pillar and saying Prahlad Maharaj. So we'll be hearing that tomorrow, because tomorrow is a very special day called Narasimha Chaturdashi. Now tomorrow is the day when Lord appeared from the pillar just to satisfy his devotee Prahlad. So we'll discuss a lot about Lord's merciful nature and Lord's intense love for his devotees, where he's ready to do anything for his devotees. So tomorrow's session will be another session which will enhance our faith in Supreme Personality of Godhead. So please come. Please don't miss tomorrow's session. And tomorrow, what can we do for Narasimha Chaturdashi? So the ones who can do, please fast till the noon. Till evening. Till dusk. This is what is given. Let me see the timing. Till what time you have to fast. So fast till dusk. Okay. 6:35 p.m. So maybe till 7 o'clock we can fast in the evening and then have prasadam. Break our fast with prasadam. And the entire day that we can do is chant more and more. Chant for the pleasure of Narasimhadev. And in the evening and throughout the day we can beg and pray to Narasimhadev. Oh Lord, the way you killed Hiranyakashipu, please kill all these anarthas and contamination, the demons which are there in my heart, with your sharp nails, which can rip open strong slab-like chest, strong stone-like chest of Hiranyakashipu. Please help. Yes. So this is what we have to do. Tomorrow we can pray intensely. Throughout the day we have to offer this prayer and tell the Lord our desire that we want to do your Ananya Bhakti, your Kevala Bhakti. That is, I want to do pure devotional service. Please help. Throughout the day with this mood, we have to chant. And if you want to read, you can read from Srimad Bhagavatam or hear some lectures. And evening, we'll come together. And from 7 o'clock onwards, we'll discuss. And tomorrow, we can go for a long time. So maybe from 7 to 9 or something. But before that, try to have your dinner. So let's start at 7:30 tomorrow so that we can break our fast. And from 7:30 to 9 or so, we'll have a special class on Narasimha Chaturdashi. Yes? So let me take... And yes, we will do Aarti. We'll sing Narasimha Aarti tomorrow. We were supposed to do that every day. But your questions have gone to next level, which takes easily 10 minutes for each questions. And see the size of the questions also. It comes in a paragraph, not one line. Okay. How can the annihilation of great reptilians be explained as per Shastra? Was it plan of Lord to settle those spirits on earth who wanted to enjoy sense gratification, or presence of humans were there along with the reptilians from very beginning? Please help me if we have any explanation. Reptilians are what? What are you talking about? Can you please mention? I'm not familiar with this word. Are you talking about big reptile or something? Please tell me. I'll explain what it is. Is the condition of a person only a function of past samskaras, or does it have anything to do with the status of a soul in the spiritual world as well, as the material world is a perverted reflection of spiritual world? Okay, nowadays my students have examples also. Example. Is a person lusty because of past samskaras, or because in the spiritual world was full of love for Krishna which turned into lust in the material world? Yes, this is one point, that in the spiritual world love is the highest, and when that gets perverted in the material world, that becomes lust. And because of that lusty desires, because of that sense gratification mode, the mode of enjoyment, when we do various activities, samskaras are created. And these samskaras are the root cause, you know, for our behavior, you know, in various ways in this current life, in this current situation. So that's what, you know, we see, that the condition of a person currently, the thought process and the way his behavior is, and his likes and dislikes are, or whatever. So those are mainly because of the karma, you know, that is done in the past, the samskaras, you know, which he has got by doing those sinful karma, you know, or vikarma. So yes, because of that, because of the past samskaras, there are, you know, various nonsensical things, you know, that a person does. You're correct. What kinds of sacrifice at devotees gives when he's at spiritual world? Okay. When it comes to spiritual world, they have gone to spiritual world because they have sacrificed the entire material world. That's a big sacrifice they've already done. So they go there. And then in spiritual world, it's more of continuous reciprocation from Supreme Personality of Godhead and devotees. So it is described in Shastra that in spiritual world, the devotees are completely engaged in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now what have they sacrificed is their own personal interest. So there is nothing called as personal interest. They have to just, you know, they are busy looking at the beautiful face of Radha and Krishna and serving them, making garlands for them and making nice eatables, palatable dishes for them, decorating that particular swing or, you know, whatever. So like this, they're busy, you know, doing various things. And when they look at the beautiful face of Radha Krishna, when they're satisfied with their service, so the smile on the face of Radha and Krishna are the prize or the gift, you know, that is given to these devotees. And these devotees are, you know, in ecstasy. And that's what they want to see. Nayane hero haribo sada jugala rupa rashi. Now this is what the devotees want. They just want to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what have they sacrificed is their personal interest. So in spiritual world, there's nothing called as personal interest. In material world, there's a lot of personal interest which people have. I want to do this, I want to do that. No. In spiritual world, what Krishna wants to do, what Krishna likes, what Srimati Radharani likes, how can we make them happy? How can we enhance their pastime? That is what is a constant meditation of devotees. Hope this is clear. Can you please explain the message behind a pastime, that is when Krishna stole Gopi's clothes? I read it in Krishna book and I have so many doubts. Also, I'm able to read the chapters of Rasa Dance. I mean, am I eligible enough? We can skip, you know, currently those five chapters. Need not get into that. Maybe later point of time, yes, we can read. When it comes to the stealing of Gopi's clothes, so the Gopis were doing a vrata called Katyayini Vrata. And they wanted to attain Krishna as their husband. What is that prayer they should chant? Katyayini Mahamaya Mahayogini Adishwari Nanda Gopa Suta Devi Patime Kurutam, something it goes on. So basically they are saying that, oh Katyayini, oh great goddess, we want, you know, Krishna as our husband. This is what was the prayer. And this particular pastime of stealing clothes of gopis that is in accordance with that. So that day Krishna accepted them as the as his consorts, because you know they were asked by Krishna that yes, you know, if you want my association, then yes, you know, you can come out and take your clothes. And gopis, without thinking twice, okay, and we are there in front of our husband, and why should we worry? They just came out, they took the clothes, they wore the clothes. So this is the reciprocation of the Lord, where he accepted the gopis as his consorts, as consorts. So anyways, as you rightly mentioned, it's difficult to understand because we are not on that platform to understand the love between the Lord and his devotees. Only thing that we can think of is, oh, okay, you know, a lusty person is looking at females. That's what we can think of. So we try to avoid such chapters as of now. But yes, with time, later point of time, when we read Srimad Bhagavatam from first canto till ninth canto, and then when we come to 10th canto, then we are eligible to read all the pastimes which are given in 10th canto. And yes, whenever we have doubt, we immediately clear. Whenever we read such things, we immediately clear. Who was the personality behind Akashvani? They were the Devi Devtas. So there, Devi Devtas were seeing that Kams Maharaj is taking Devaki and Vasudev in the chariot, and they have such nice reciprocation. And Devi Devtas are thinking, "Arey, if Kams Maharaj is serving so nicely to Devaki and Vasudev, who are going to be the parents of Krishna, so when Krishna appears, Krishna will not be able to kill Kams Maharaj, because he has served his parents. Kams Maharaj served parents. So the Devi Devtas felt, there's too much, too much of service Kams Maharaj is doing. So better we do something by which the Kams Maharaj will go and harm Devaki and Vasudev, and then Krishna will come to kill Kams Maharaj. So that Devi Devtas made that Akashvani. As discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.1.31. Okay. Kamsa and other enemies merged in Brahman. Are all enemies merged in Brahman, or any demons who merge with Krishna like reaching spiritual planets? On which criteria is this? Which mukti demons get? So normally demons get Sayujya, where they enter Brahman. They're there in that Brahman platform. And that's why Mayavadis are also called as demons. Because they desire for that. So when it comes to the demons like Shishupal and others, we'll see their history. So if a demon has a history with Krishna, where he's from a spiritual world, so at that time we understand that the demon will again go back to his eternal form as the eternal associate of the Lord. Yes. So here we see Shishupal. He got Sayujya first, and then he got Salokya and Sarupya. Salokya means he went to planet of Krishna. Then he got Sarupya also. He got the same form as that of Krishna. Because Shishupal was one of the eternal associates of the Lord. That will come now in the future verses. Why Shishupal became Shishupal? That's the question. That will be answered. I hope this answers your question. Can you please tell, when Krishna and Balram was sent to Sandipani Muni's ashram, what was their age? Was it after all the leelas that Krishna performed? Yeah. When Krishna exited Vrindavan at the age of, what was the age? Between 7 to 11, something like that. Yes, so when he exited Vrindavan, so at that time he was sent to Sandipani Muni's ashram. So after Krishna, after Vrindavan Leela. It looks like Krishna and demon are in hurry to get it delivered as soon as possible in the same lifetime. Guaranteed, while devotee taking slow pace to reach Godhead, maybe this or next lifetime. So it looks like demon are more time conscious. Very true, Chandan Bro. You're on the right track. Your thought process is correct. Now, demons are much better than us. So this is the point that you're making is very, very much valid here. So devotees have to be hankering a lot to attain Krishna this very lifetime, and do devotional service accordingly. Not like installment in this life and next installment in the next life. No. This very lifetime, we have to do intense devotional service and attain Krishna. So that's a very nice point. Can we start from 8 tomorrow so that I can be completely... If we start at 8, it will go very late, Prabhu. 7:30 is more timing, which is good. Jarasandha was also in constant thought of Lord, but he did not get the fortune of being killed and delivered by Lord. Please help, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, as per archaeology and science, dinosaur occupied the planet Earth and then humans came. See, when it comes to dinosaurs, that's a big discussion, you know, that can be there. Now the question is, when did dinosaurs come? Satyuga, it was a golden age when people existed very nicely. Then comes Treta Yuga, then comes Dwapar Yuga. Where are dinosaurs? And you know, where are these things proved? The shastras don't support dinosaurs anywhere. Yes, but maybe, yes, you know, big animals might be supported, but the way it is shown in the movies, you know, is very different, where only dinosaurs were there. Only dinosaurs were there, and then they are killing each other and, you know, whatever. But when it comes to Shastra, it is very clear. In Satyuga, people lived for 1 lakh years, and their even the body size, you know, were really huge. So maybe at that time we can think of, okay, the dogs, and you know, they might be big and so on and so forth. But then with time, you know, the height is reduced of each and every, you know, living entity, including us. So like that, you know, speculating, you know, we can think of, okay, you know, there were some animals who were, you know, huge in size. But what the science is proving now, you know, trying to prove through archaeology is crazy. So that's not supported by Shastra.